Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
And global crisis, it goes from one to another. It's something that we pray that there will be some little spaces of peace in between, but according to the end time scenario, if those spaces do come, they will be very, very short lived. We thought we had a dialogue with Russia. We see the rise of communism in Russia again, and radical communism and Marxism is pushing its way back in. We saw the great revival in China, and now the persecution has begun in earnest against all the Christian people in China. We saw in America what we thought would bring revival. We saw after 9/11 and the 3,000 people who died, some of them holding hands and jumping from the top of those towers to their death. People were falling. Body parts were falling. It was one of the most gruesome things to be up close to that anyone could ever experience. It is a day that will live on in infamy concerning the loss of life suddenly by an enemy in the United States. Pearl Harbor was held the title of the day that would live on in infamy, but it no longer holds the title. 9/11 has transcended Pearl Harbor, and it doesn't make it go away and not give it the attention that it deserves, but this is more current. This is in all of our time, and if we reflect just a little bit, it's in all of our vivid memory. It's still surrealistic. It's still hard to fathom that it did happen. That not only was these buildings crashed and exploded planes within, but that they crumbled all the way to the ground, and so many people perished. This is in our recent history. And we thought this shaking was going to bring revival in America. We wanted to interpret this in a positive light and say, well, if we're vulnerable to an enemy and these things can happen in America, then we need to get closer to the Lord. And people did, for a very, very short season, show up at churches because we didn't know what was coming next. But when nothing came next for a while, when months passed and nothing happened, and just a few months, all of this rush to church turned in a falling away immediately. So these were phony conversions. This was insincere repentance. And the God that was looked to by a whole nation, including all of the politicians in Washington, amen, the God who is our refuge and strength, a present help in time of trouble, that we invoked His grace and mercy and His protective shield around our nation and our people. That God is now being pushed away again. Amen. Isn't that incredible that that would happen? When they interviewed Billy Graham's daughter on national television, of where was God during 9/11? That's what the journalist asked her on national TV. And she said, and I appreciated her answer, she said, we push Him out of our schools. We want Him out of the public arena. We don't even want a manger scene in the public square. Amen. We don't want a prayer said in the school system. We keep pushing God out of our society. And then we ask, where was God? Amen. And I think that's a good answer. I think the world needs to be confronted with those kinds of issues. Can you say, man, you can't have it both ways, she finally said. How many know you can't have it both ways? There's Christians that play the same game. And then we pull God out in the time of personal crisis or national crisis or emergency, and we push Him away during the rest of our life. Go to the doctor and you're diagnosed with cancer. Suddenly God becomes relevant. Suddenly we might find time for prayer and Bible study and church and healing scriptures. Listen, there's more healing scriptures in here than for the healing of your physical body. There's scriptures in here for the healing and health of your eternal, undying soul. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. I'm going to talk to you this morning about standing firm on shaky ground. Everybody say, standing firm on shaky ground. Going to make a highly understated remark. We're living in turbulent times. That's about as understated as I can state it. The scriptures picture the last days characterized by perilous times. The word perilous means outrageous. Everybody say outrageous. It's outrageous. It is. We are in peril, and there are dangers that are very real. But they are outrageous things. What's happening? To see a journalist beheaded on the internet, just cut off somebody's head. It's outrageous. It's outrageous to see what happened. We're just now beginning to reflect again on what happened in 1992 in Rwanda. And there's a film out called Hotel Rwanda, and there's a production from HBO, I believe, that's follows the same documentary type style as the film, that telling a human personal story of truth that happened, where 1 million men, women, and children were killed without any intervention from the UN or the United States or anyone else. And it's called Sometimes in April, and it's sickening to watch these films and seeing innocent people hacked to death and murdered mercilessly. It's outrageous. And when 1 million people are killed, the mind doesn't really grasp it. If you think of 30 or 40 in some incident or accident, your mind picks up on it. But you go into the millions, and the mind is just boggled by it, and we just don't grasp it. We're kind of numb to millions of people dying globally. It's an incredible day to be living. We're living in outrageous times. The dangers and the threats are real. Men's hearts will fail them for fear and for looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. The whole world is shaking. And you know how most of the church is coping, according to Billy Graham? One of his last concerns and statements of his concerns for America, he said, the average Christian in a time of such trouble and such cataclysmic events and such prophetically relevant events, he said, the average Christian pushes all of that out while sitting home, drinking his beverage and watching his television. We're not stirred by it anymore. We become numb to it. God doesn't want us to go hide in a hole, and God doesn't want us to be fearful. God wants us to be faithful in these last days. And God wants to contrast His church, who has this warrior peace. Amen. In the time of such trouble, this deep, settled peace within. Hallelujah. Against a world that is beginning to shake with the things around them. The whole world is shaking, but the kingdom of God standeth sure. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Scripture said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. I like that. Amen. For the Lord knoweth them that are His. I like the book of Nahum. Nahum, he's talking about all these judgments coming. But even in these judgments, there's comfort in knowing these are not judgments to destroy Israel, but to wake Israel up and bring them back to the real place of safety. Can you say amen? The trouble was an act of love on God's part. He could have let them alone and let them go, but He didn't. He let the trouble come to bring them back. So even the prophet of the coming trouble became a consoler. The word Nahum means a consoler. And he knew that God's covenant people in the time of trouble would turn back to the Lord. So he said in verse 7 of Nahum 1, amen, he talked about the Lord cherishing them that are His. He said the Lord is good. Amen. He doesn't have evil intentions for you. Even when bad things are happening, the Lord is good. Amen. And He's something else too. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Can you say amen? And something else too that brings peace and consolation. No wonder He was called a consoler, Nahum. And He knows them that are His. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, for the Lord knoweth them that are His, it says in the New Testament. It's a spinning off of that characteristic of God that honors His covenant to 1,000 generations. Can you say amen? And the word knoweth in the Hebrew is the word cherisheth. Isn't that incredible that God would cherish you? Amen. That God will actually cherish you, not just tolerate you and put up with you, but love you enough to cherish you and hold you near to His heart. Can you say amen? Oh, that's too good even for me to preach without stopping to say Selah. Can you say amen? Amen. Just sit and calmly contemplate that. Hallelujah. God holds you close to his heart. And he wants you to come to him so he can hold you. Amen. Literally bring you into that place of safety and security. But the dangers are real. Turn with me to Hebrews 12, 25 through 29. If there's anything we need to hear, there's a famine in the land, and it's not a famine for food or water. The Old Testament said the famine was a famine for hearing the word of the Lord. When people refuse to listen, God quits talking. So from Malachi to John the Baptist, 400 years passed. Malachi was the last of the Old Testament prophets that God used until he sent John, which was in that same line of prophets. John the Baptist was going to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. He would eventually decrease, that Christ would increase, and the focus would be taken from John. John would die a martyr's death for standing for righteousness. Amen? But 400 years had passed. And there was no prophetic word. There was nothing coming from God because people had closed their ears and closed their hearts. So God closed his mouth. And by the way, temple worship went on and church went on as usual. With people not listening and preachers not hearing from God, church went on business as usual. But God was not speaking for 400 years. No wonder the ears of people who longed to hear a true word from God perked up. When John the Baptist came out of the wilderness preaching under an anointing. You see, you can carry on temple worship without the presence of God. Amen. Without the word of the Lord. But when it comes, it doesn't have to be in a great church setting. This man wearing, amen, the skin of an animal, eating locust and wild honey, a pretty wild-looking character, came out of the wilderness, but he came with a word from the Lord. Can you say amen? And people begin to come because 400 years had passed and generations had passed. And God said, if you ain't listening, I ain't talking. But finally, a generation came along. And in God's timing, amen, it was time to send the Messiah. And Israel got another fresh visitation. And it began with a prophetic word. I said it began with a prophetic word. Before the first advent, a prophet was raised up. While Jesus was growing in the womb, amen, of Mary, amen, John was kicking his heels up in the womb of Elizabeth. Oh, you don't think he was kicking his heels up that I'm being extra biblical? Amen. When Mary came and told Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John, that she was pregnant with a child by the Holy Ghost and his name would be Emmanuel, it said the baby inside of Elizabeth leapt in her womb. This Pentecostal thing, hallelujah, started with John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth. Not to mention great jumping Jehoshaphat. Can you say amen? I don't know if he jumped or not. I believe he did anyway. I want to hear what the Spirit says to the church. I don't want to be coddled. I don't want to be merchandised. I don't want to be manipulated. I want to be challenged and I want to be changed. I want to draw near to God because I know he'll draw near to me. I want anything in the way of that to be removed from my life. And I need the challenge. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What we think is hard preaching is love reaching. You didn't hear me. I'm not just trying to make a bust a rhyme this morning. Listen, amen. What we think is hard preaching is love reaching. If God didn't love you, he won't talk to you. If God didn't love you, he would put no barriers between you and destruction or deception. But if God loves you, he chastens everyone that he loves. It doesn't prove that he doesn't love you. It proves that he does and he's committed to you paternally. Hallelujah. He scourges everyone that he received. How many has ever been convicted by the Holy Spirit? How many has the Word of God ever hit, it's ever hit you some Sunday? You know, it's not my brother or my sister we used to sing. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Hallelujah. I'm glad sometimes when the Lord singles me out, not for condemnation, but for confrontation. Love confronts. It's called tough love. Even the world says if you've got a kid on drugs, don't deny it. Don't gloss over it. Don't turn your back on it. Let there be a confrontation. Sometimes in a family, everybody gets together. The husband, the wife, the kids, the dad, the mom, the uncles, the aunts. They get together and they have an encounter with this person. To encounter them and say, we love you. We're not here to beat on you. We're here to confront you with the reality that you're destroying your life and many others in the process. There's a commercial on right now. It's an effective commercial about doing a gun crime and being put in prison. And in a prison setting, amen, sitting there eating with the prisoners is this grandmother. In the prison recreation yard, it looks like a daughter is out there with the men who are playing the basketball. He said, in other words, when you go to prison, your whole family's serving time with you. They're hurting. The devil tells you, as long as it just hurts me and it don't hurt anybody else, that's a lie out of the pit of hell. You can't be connected to anybody and it not hurt them. Alcoholism hurts a whole family. Children, wives, it doesn't just hurt the alcoholic. It hurts the family. It's selfish and self-centered. We want self-pity, and we're not to be pitied. We're be to confronted. Amen. 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 Drug abuse doesn't just affect the person doing the drugs, but everyone they encounter, everyone in their life. Sin's a killer. Kill then, and it kills now. Jesus is a liberator. He liberated then, and he sets free today. Hallelujah. Let me read this very quickly. Hebrews 12, 25 through 29. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Now, if we'd went up in the preceding verses, we would have saw the fact that we have not come to Mount Sinai, the mountain that couldn't be touched. But we've come to Zion, to the city of the Most High God, to an innumerable company of angels, to the church of the firstborn. Amen. We have a standing through Christ that we can come into the very presence of God. But on top of Sinai, God spoke to Israel. And he spoke in the midst of a shaking earth and a shaking mountain and thunder and lightning. And they trembled at the foot of that mountain and they moved into false repentance. They told Moses, go up and see what he has to say and come down and tell us that we might do it. And when Moses got up to the top of the mountain, he was elated. Amen. He was so happy to bear that message to God. And as he began to bear that message to God, amen, God said, oh, that there was such a heart in them, if they really meant it, that it might be well with them and their children forever. Isn't it incredible the power of repentance, the benefit and the blessing? Amen. In many circles, we've taken that message and put it over in a negative vein. And we say that if you preach that, you're going to offend people and push them away. Honey, there's nothing wrong with being right with God. Can you say amen? Being right with God brings the great blessings. Amen. Of fellowship. And the great blessings of his paternal care over our life. Being right with God means that angels show up. Hallelujah. Amen. Personally delivering the righteous. Being right with God means that you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat or drink or wherewith you will be clothed. For your Father knows what you have need of. And he's going to provide for you. Being right with God means your enemy can come against you. But he can never overcome and overwhelm you. Because if God is for you, no one and nothing can be against you and prevail. Can you say? Amen. There's nothing wrong with getting right with God. Getting right with God means you can know the peace that passes all understanding, even in the day of trouble. Being right with God means you can look the death angel in the eye and say, death, where's your sting and grave? Where's your victory? Death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with being right with God. Hallelujah. So don't refuse him that speaketh. Amen. Don't back off from his word. He spoke from Sinai, but they backed off as soon as the shaking quit. They forgot their vows. Amen. They walked away and they moved back into rebellion. As long as the earth was shaking, as a mighty God on that mountain shook it, as his holiness was confronting man's sinfulness, and they trembled at the base of that mountain, they made these great vows, and I've seen it happen in altar services. God would shake someone's soul, wanting to bring them into a real life in Christ, get them rooted and built up in Christ, and they just prayed off that conviction. And when the shaking quit in their life, and the shaking by the Spirit stopped. Amen. As the proverb is true, the dog returned to his vomit. When you go back to the world that so hates Christ and that the devil manipulates to bind you and blind you, and you see the contrast between the kingdom and that world, and you choose that world over His kingdom, the proverb is true. The dog has returned to his vomit. One of the most heart-wrenching, heartbreaking parts of preaching and pastoring is to watch people hit altars and then choose the world over the kingdom. And the sins of the world over the kingdom. And have little or no appreciation. And worst of all, not refuse me as a pastor, but refuse Him that speaketh. It's not a light thing to turn a deaf ear when God in love is calling us to repentance and salvation. Can you say amen? See that you refuse not Him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused Him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from Him that speaketh from heaven. By the way, who does God speak through primarily? We preachers preach some stuff that's already in the book, but what is the primary person that God speaks through in these last days? In times past, He spoke to us through the prophets, but in these days, He's spoken to us through His Son. Can you say, man? Everybody say, through His Son. Aren't you glad Jesus came and brought the message of hope and the message of salvation? And brought that voice of God back into clarity in a world that was so closed and dark. Hallelujah. To open the eye of the blind. Amen. That anointing was not for blind Bartimaeus. That was a physical healing. Nothing more, nothing less. And I don't want to minimize that. But I'm talking about an eye of the soul that has been blinded by Satan. That's the eye Jesus was anointed to open. Can you say, come on. How many know salvation is eternal? Healing of this body is temporal. Amen. The God of this world has blinded the minds of men. But when Christ came, the light of the glory of the gospel shined into those dark places. Hallelujah. For if they escape not who refused Him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away Him that speaketh from heaven. Remember at the voice of Jonah? The preaching of Jonah, Nineveh repented. And what did Jesus say but a greater? He was preaching and they were not listening, but a greater than Jonah is here. He said the men of Nineveh would stand with the men of this generation and condemn them. They turned at the preaching of Jonah. And a greater than Jonah is bringing the message now, and people are not listening. Whose voice then shook the earth, that's Sinai. But now He hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. In other words, everything in creation, everything in the tangible world, that those things which cannot be shaken might remain. Everybody say, oh, let me finish this. Whereby, wherefore, we as Christians receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved or cannot be shaken. Let us have grace or be thankful, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Isn't it amazing the fire that we want to get close to? That same fire will judge the world. Amen. Every Christian I know wants to look into the eyes of Jesus. First thing we want to see in heaven is to look into the face of the One who gave His life for us on the tree. Amen. And yet John said His eyes were as a flame of fire. To the wicked, the same eyes that are filled with love and compassion, acceptance for us. Amen. That makes us want to embrace Him and just melt into His bosom. Amen. In gratitude. Those same eyes the world will see as judgment. The same fire. Hey, when we talk about fire, we Christians love it. We love it. We want more of it. Can you say amen? We used to sing in the old camp meetings, oh Lord, send the fire just now. Can you say, man? Oh, Lord, send. I'm from Kentucky. That's how they sang it. Oh, Lord, send the fire just now. Oh, Lord, send the fire just now and baptize everyone. We love the thought of just being immersed in this Shekinah glory. But the same fire that warms our heart will burn up the world. Because this holy God can only accept us through the blood of Jesus. Amen. He cannot accept sin. Amen. He will judge wickedness. His very presence will bring judgment. That's why when he came down on that mountain, the mountain was shaking. The people were trembling. They said, if it keeps shaking, we'll all be destroyed. And they listened for a moment while the shaking was happening. But when the shaking stopped, they quit listening. Let me read this from the Amplified. It says, so see to it that you do not reject him and refuse to listen to and heed him who is speaking to you now. For if they, the Israelites, did not escape when they refused to listen and heed him who warned and divinely instructed them here on earth, revealing with heavenly warnings his will, how much less shall we escape if we reject and turn our backs on him who cautions and admonishes us from heaven? Then at Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth, but now he has given a promise. Yet once more, I will shake and make tremble not only the earth, but also the starry heavens. Now this expression, yet once more, indicates the final removal and transformation of all that can be shaken, that is, of that which has been created, in order that that which cannot be shaken may remain and continue. Aren't you glad when you touch on kingdom, eternal kingdom values and truths? You go to a funeral of a Christian, and they say, we, in the face of death and how it shakes the very core of our being, and it shakes our world, and it shakes a family. Amen. They're burying young soldiers right now, and the world of a mama has been shaken. The world of a wife has been shaken. The world of a child has been shaken. The world of the heart of a nation has been touched. But if that person knew Christ as their personal Savior, amen, we have the certain hope of the resurrection. Hallelujah, because this kingdom that he brings us into, death can't even shake it. Isn't that incredible? I said death can't even shake this kingdom. And receiving a kingdom like that, we ought to be the most joyous, rejoicing, grateful people on the planet. No matter what's shaking in our life, the kingdom we've been invited into will not be moved. Hallelujah. Let us therefore, receiving a kingdom that is firm and stable and cannot be shaken, offer unto God pleasing service and acceptable worship with modesty and pious care and godly fear and awe. For our God is indeed a consuming fire. The fact that we're not consumed, but invited into His presence, should blow us away Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. I don't believe we'll ever get used to, I don't believe we'll fully appreciate salvation till we stand in His presence and see such a holy one as He, and understand that we do not belong in that presence, but we're there because of the grace provided through the blood of Jesus and the righteous robe that that blood has given us. I believe we're going to stand in awe of Him. And you think it's boring. All day long they're saying, holy, holy, holy. Amen. And some repetition. No, no, no. Every time we get near that presence, we're just going to say, holy, holy, and worthy, worthy, and worthy, worthy, and holy, holy. And worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and power and a kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. Aren't you glad you're saved today? Glory to God. You can stand in that presence without fear. Woo! Hallelujah! And you thought you were just a sinner saved by grace on your way to a city. No, you've been brought into the presence of this consuming fire without being consumed. Hallelujah. Here's the point. One event after another has shaken our world because the nature of the visible world is shaky. But we're witnessing. What we are witnessing foreshadows a cataclysmic shaking of creation that will ultimately leave one thing that cannot be shaken. And that's the kingdom of God. It's going to get down to that. Our lives are to be ordered and defined by our relationship to the unshakable kingdom of God. You believe that? We ought to be relating not to the world that can be shaken, but to the kingdom which cannot. If you're part of this unshakable kingdom, then you will endure whatever threatens your world. Hallelujah. Amen. I like a Psalm, I believe it's Psalm 130. Well, anyway, it's one of those Psalms. It's between Psalm 1 and 150. But it's talking about a righteous man. It said his heart is fixed. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. Amen. In other words, he won't be afraid to watch CNN. He won't be afraid to watch MSNBC. He won't be afraid to read Newsweek. He won't be afraid. Amen. He will not fear evil tidings, for his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The message of a coming judgment is a lost message in much of the church world. Isn't it amazing? It's almost upon us. It's already begun. The precursors are here. And yet the message is not being preached. You believe God is silent on this issue? I do not. I believe preachers don't want to rock the boat. I like the preacher said, it'd be better the preacher rocked the boat than the devil wrecked the boat. Can you say amen? I want to be challenged on Sunday morning. I want to be changed, and I want to draw near to God, not because the Titanic is sinking, but because Christ is calling. Hallelujah. The ministry of warning of judgment to come is rarely heard in much of Christendom. Where's the warning? Every preacher, every evangelist, apostle, teacher, anyone who stands before anyone should sound a warning. Ezekiel was a prophet, and he was responsible to give warning to Israel. It didn't matter how many people came to church, whether they were offended by it or not. It mattered that he gave it accurately. Son of man, I made thee a watchman over Israel. If you see the enemy coming and you fail to warn my people, they will be destroyed, but I'll require their blood at your hand. Paul had read that. Paul trembled at the thought of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ with the awesome responsibility that fell to him. He couldn't worry about social acceptability and political correctness. He had to tell the truth even at his own peril. So that when someone heard that truth, they had the option and the opportunity to be truly saved. Eternal issues were at stake, and he couldn't compromise. He said, I've not shunned to declare unto you not just what is popular in preaching circles, but the whole counsel of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, I am pure from the blood of all men. I've left church services that everybody didn't jump and shout and say, boy, that was good. But I live with joy in my heart because I knew when I left, I am pure. No one in that audience is going to miss God because I didn't tell them the truth on Sunday morning. I'm going home and sleep like a baby and not fear the judgment seat of Christ because I'm going home pure from the blood of all men. It's a great feeling to be pure from blood guiltiness because we didn't tell the whole truth to God's people. Preachers ought to tremble before they come to a pulpit. Not just primp. Not just come with a condescending attitude. Not just come with a, hey, look at me. We should be humbled in the presence of God to carry a message that is so vital that souls will spend eternity in heaven or hell as a result of the choices made after that message is preached. You want to know what Paul preached and what happened in people that heard him? It's a little preview of that. How many believe we ought to preach what they preach? There's no other gospel that anybody can preach. Can you say amen? But that has been preached. We don't need a new spin by spin doctor preachers. We need the same truth that John preached. The same truth, amen, that Paul preached and Peter preached. Hallelujah. It was truth then and it's truth today. Hallelujah. It's not too strong for the 20th century. It's exactly what we need to confront lost people with and confront backsliders with. God in love is speaking from heaven. Hallelujah. The Bible said a governor that is used to being bribed when people were in trouble, he called for Paul out of prison, thinking that he might receive something from him in the book of Acts. And Paul began to tell him, and as a ruse to get him to offer the bribe, he said, tell me about what you believe. And Paul began to preach Christ to him, and he preached Christ in the context, amen, of choices and of judgments to come. And that's the part of the message that's left out. Amen. You receive Christ to get a better job and to get a bigger home, but not to escape the judgment to come. Listen, folks, if you lived in a mud hut in South Africa till Jesus comes and you're ready for that coming, you're rich beyond your wildest dreams. Hallelujah. How dare us equate gain with godliness? And yet that is the core of many of the messages of the 21st century church. And God will bless you and does bless you. I'll tell you, there's a pastor on a Schwinn in Africa. Amen. And he's so happy to have a Schwinn because he's walked on them poor old dogs so many miles to preach, riding down the road in that Schwinn. Amen. There's some preacher probably in an Escalade on the way to church this morning. And I honestly do believe that that pastor in Africa on that Schwinn has more joy than that guy in that Escalade. Because he probably had an Explorer before he got the Escalade. But that guy down there didn't have nothing but feet till he got his Schwinn. My Jesus, I love you. My Jesus, I love you. My Jesus, I love you so. Because you have saved me. Because you have healed me. My Jesus, I love you so. Ah, yeah, on a Schwinn. Hallelujah, saved and sealed. Glory to God. Ministry of warning. Ezekiel went on to say, if you see the enemy coming and you warn my people and they don't listen, you're pure from the blood. I won't hold you accountable for their blood. They will perish if they don't listen, but you will not be held accountable to me for what happened to them. So preaching is not about just winning friends and influencing people to get them into church. I'm going to use the term, I don't know the heart of the people buying into the seeker-sensitive movement. But some people are clearly not preaching vital truths on Sunday morning because they don't want to offend people. They figure, get them in and hold them there by that the ends justifies the means, and that is not biblical. That is not true. The Holy Spirit can take strong truth, blend it with the mighty love of God and the grace of Jesus. Bring that truth and confront people with it and embrace them in conviction and embrace them and bring them to altars of true repentance and love them in the kingdom. Amen. We don't have to water down His Word to win people to Jesus Christ. Holy Ghost is up to the task of confronting the 21st century yuppie crowd with the true gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Still ought to be our song. Hallelujah. For it's grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace, hallelujah, my fears relieved. Amen. If you warn my people and they don't listen, they'll be destroyed, but I won't hold you accountable for it. If you fail to warn my people, then I will require their blood at your hand. Paul said, I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. Can you say amen? What a different preacher he was. What a different message he brought. Felix thought he'll give me a bribe. I'll let him expostulate about his faith and he'll give me a bribe. But when Paul got through, the man was shaking in his shoes. Can you say amen? How many know the Holy Ghost is working with Paul? How many know conviction will show you? I'll tell you, when God really convicted me, when I really came under conviction, it's like God was holding me by the collar over the flames of hell. And I thought, I'm a lost man, and I'm hopeless and helpless, and there's no consolation. You read the bumper stickers, you know, heaven don't want me, and hell's afraid I'll take over. Well, that's big talking. But the sounds from hell is not braggadocious talking. Amen. It's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and I never want to hear it, frankly. But I want people to understand you don't want to spend your eternity in a place where those sounds are emanating throughout eternity. Can you say, man, that place still exists, even though you think it doesn't, but it's still there. You can't preach a heaven without a hell. You can't preach a God without a devil. You can't preach saved without people being lost. Amen. We've got an imbalance, a terrible imbalance. We're just trying to preach a God of the world that will give people the world. Amen. We're preaching a Christ that is offering the kingdoms of this world if they'll come to Him. That isn't Christ's message. That's the devil's message. Can you say amen? I don't want the kingdoms of this world. They're all going to fall. Amen. I want the kingdom of God. It's going to outlast the world. Hallelujah. God will give me food and raiment. God will meet my bills. But I don't want the kingdoms of this world. I don't want to compete with what the world says is successful. When this thing that's about to happen happens, The only thing that's going to stand is not that that has been made by man's hands or even created by God's. The heavens as we know it are going to pass away as a scroll. Wow! But the kingdom is going to stand. And those under His kingdom reign are going to stand with Him. So the ministry of warning is something we need. Let me tell you in warning this morning, in hurrying. I don't know if I can even finish this, but the big one is coming. It's a joke in California. It helps them cope, quote, helps them cope with the fact that there is a San Andreas fault, that there is a fault line under that state, and there is the possibility of a cataclysmic earthquake event in California. Scientists say someday it's coming, but it hasn't come for so long. It's become almost jocular. It's a joke, just like judgment to come. Bible said Felix reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Isn't it amazing in the gospel that Paul preached to a lost man? There was the essential ingredient of you've got to be right with God to avoid a coming judgment. Not you get right with God so you can get more stuff. You've got to be right with God to avoid a coming judgment. How many know that's a deeper reason to come into God? Can you say, man, it requires a deeper devotion. Amen. When He reasoned of righteousness, temperance, in other words, you're accountable for your actions. God will judge the quick and the dead. You can't stand His scrutiny without a covering. You can't stand, amen. No one can act perfectly. We've all sinned and come short. But a judgment is going to come. Robert G. Lee, the great preacher of old, preached payday someday. Another preacher preached sinners in the hands of an angry God. And on a secular station, they were talking about these great preachers of old. And you know what they said? They, in essence, said the reason people love to hear him preach. And so people were so responsive in the altar calls is because people like to be scared. They categorize the message of a coming judgment as a B-horror movie. Something man has come up with to control people and get them to do what they want. And if we scare the daylights out of them, they'll come to altars. That discredited and discounted the Holy Spirit and His work in this world. When He comes, He will convince the world of sin. And I'm going to tell you, when He convicts of sin, He shows you some things. He shows you you are lost and you are in no condition to go out of this world and stand before God. Amen. But thank God at the same time, He shows you how to heal that deadly wound. How to get that poison out of your system. Can you save it? He shows you the cross and Christ hanging on it and bids you to come and drink of the river of life freely. No wonder the world doesn't understand conviction. They think this is sensationalized preaching designed to control people. And what do we want? We want to refuse Him that speaketh. We do our own thing. I want to hear Him. I don't want to even waste my time at church if somebody isn't anointed and appointed of God and bringing a message from His mouth. If I never go back, He owes me the truth. If I don't give a penny in His building fund, He owes me the truth. Can you say, man, Halebakura, Mishalabarada? If I don't join His group of givers, He owes me the truth. Why? Because my soul is at stake. Preachers need to be telling the truth. And not just the popular parts of it, but the whole of it. Paul talked about the whole counsel of God. Let him that steal, steal no more. Flee fornication. Be not deceived, neither the effeminate, nor the abusers of themselves with mankind, nor the adulterer, nor the fornicator, hath any part in the kingdom of God. Let no man deceive you and tell you it's okay when God says it will damn your soul. Don't listen to that. Don't let a man tell you what you want to hear. We need to hear what God is saying, because He spoke from the mountain and He judged those that didn't listen. How much more will judgment be sure when God speaks from heaven through His own Son who He sent to this earth? He judged them because they wouldn't listen to prophets. There's a closer judgment for this generation, a greater than Jonah. I said a greater than Jonah is here. In times past, he spoke to the prophets, but in these last days, he's spoken to us directly, distinctly, through whom? His Son. No one accounts to me. Have you noticed? I don't ride you. I don't try to manipulate you. I don't even try to make you do anything. Isn't that something? I don't quiz you and try to figure out how to straighten you out. Amen. Because I can't straighten you out. Because if you refuse him that speaks from heaven, what in the world can I say? What in the world can I do? But if you ever understand, this word this morning is not the words of a Pentecostal organization or a Baptistical organization or the Southern Baptist Convention. This didn't come out of Lee College, amen, the Great Church of God Bible College. This did not come out of Moody Bible Institute. This did not come. This came, amen, hallelujah, when holy men were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This stands when the whole world shakes. We count to God for this truth. To preach it, to receive it. I struggle with parts of this, but I don't struggle with the voice who brings it. That's my master. I struggle with my flesh, and I struggle with this world system, and I struggle with my attitudes, not just my activities. How many know God even wants your attitudes to get corrected? Like little Johnny when the teacher said, Johnny, I want you to stand in that corner until you learn to be quiet. And he mumbles while he's standing there, I'm sitting down on the inside. And there's a lot of people going through the actions, but their heart's not in it. And real repentance changes your heart as well as your activity. We're going to have to stop here. But look at verse 26 through 27. Let me say this before we quit. God has appointed a great earthquake to bring this whole world to a close. It will close with a cataclysmic earthquake that will end it all. And it's coming. It's promised according to Scripture. God's going to not just shake a mountain. Every mountain in the world will be cast down. The stars, the heavens are going to shake too. He said, I'm not just going to shake the earth. I'm going to shake the heavens. The judgment is harsher because the message is clear and the Son has brought it. And now it's not a prophet that is rejecting and a people rejecting a prophet and the voice of God speaking from earth. They're rejecting the Son of God himself and God speaking from heaven. So the very heavens are going to be shaken and the stars are going to be rolled up like a scroll. They're going to fall from heaven like a fig tree. Untimely. Green figs that you can't shake out hardly with anything. Amen. They're going to be shaken loose and fall to the ground. The stars are going to fall like that. It's incredible judgment that's coming to this world. The only thing that's going to stand is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of man is going to come to a close. God has appointed a great earthquake to bring the world to a close. A final shaking. We'll continue this evening. Of the earth and the heavens someday that will end this fallen creation as we know it and bring the kingdom of God to consummation. Everything that can be shaken, which Paul said, everything in the created world and the universe, all of it is going to be shaken. You could be on the moon and you couldn't escape this judgment. You could be on Mars. If we find that Mars can have a module put on it and people could live there, there could be a society built on Mars, and that society is going to be shaken. You can be an island of the sea, but when this quake comes, every island will flee away. Every island will flee away. The reason I believe in a pre-trib rapture is because he's not appointed us to wrath, and this shaking is the direct, distinct wrath of God during the tribulation. And there are Christians on those islands, but all those islands are going under. Hello? He's got to put us in an ark.
Hallelujah.
I know the ark's name.
Hallelujah.
And it's not Noah Bell. Can you say amen? It's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's good to be locked in by God. Hallelujah. Amen. He didn't just lock the wicked out. He sealed the righteous in. Hallelujah. You didn't hear me. I said he sealed the righteous in. And we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. And I believe in the big catching away. And even if it didn't happen, He's going to have to take care of me. Because He's not appointed me to wrath. And when hailstones fall weighing 96 pounds, you're going to need more than an ecclesiastical umbrella. You're going to have more. Everybody say the unshakable kingdom of God. Whew. I'm going to live forever because I'm part of an unshakable kingdom and death can't even shake it. The earthquakes, the tidal waves, the cataclysmic events. It is love trying to wake up those who were asleep the sleep of death unless they are awakened. America hasn't woke up yet. What else is going to have to shake? You know, if the terrorists want to do something, all they have to do is bomb the oil fields. The only reason they don't is because there is a confederacy in the Arab world and there's money, billions of dollars. And if they bomb their brothers in the oil fields, they're hurting that inflow of billions. But Europe and America, you think the towers were bad? You cut off the flow of oil to these industrialized nations and watch the economy. Something far worse than the Great Depression ever thought of would come to pass in Europe and America. Instead of bombing embassies and bombing boats and bombing buildings, all they need do is bomb the oil fields with nuclear devices if they could get them. And it's over. Cripple the world without coming to the shores of America. And we all know this. We are desperately dependent on Middle East oil. We can't survive without it. And Europe is more dependent than we are. Even the hurricane that came up through the Gulf stopped oil production off of Texas in the Gulf of Mexico. And the prices went up to over $60 a barrel because they were turning out over 200,000 barrels a day and they had to suspend operations till the storm passed. And that little bitty amount, that little vein of oil flowing in, affected us nationally and personally at the gas pump. Isn't that incredible that we're squeezing it that much? China is becoming the biggest consumer of these kind of resources in the world. They're industrializing, and they're huge. The world economy is teetering, it's tottering. Isn't it amazing in a time when man is bowing to the god of materialism? All God would have to do is lift His grace from America for a millisecond. And all of this grandeur would come tumbling down like dust in the wind. And during the tribulation, the economies are going to break. Babylon is going to fall. And the earth is going to wail because they worshiped the god of material. The commercial Babylon as well as ecclesiastical Babylon is going to fall. And the city itself during this earthquake is going to be broken into three sections and destroyed. Incredible time that's coming. I've never, you know, in light of all these things, I agree with one preacher. He said a Christian who's in the kingdom of God in these last days, knowing what God has saved us from and what He's called us to, amen, we ought to be, in spite of everything around us, we ought to be a hallelujah from head to toe. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise. What did it say? What did it say? It said, let us therefore, who have received a kingdom that is firm and stable, which cannot be shaken, offer to God pleasing service or thanksgiving. Amen. Hallelujah, right in the middle of your trouble. The fact that you're going to escape this, you ought to stand up in your trouble and say, God says don't sweat the small stuff. And everything is small stuff compared to this. Hallelujah. Listen, if your heart stops, you're going to have a shaking. Amen. If you go home today and a family member is found dead, you're going to have a shaking. Pray for Patty and George's family. She lost a brother in much the same circumstances that my wife lost a brother. That family's shaking. It shakes people. You don't realize how bad it shakes, but it shakes. Amen. But thank God for the kingdom of God. I love to go to Christian funerals because we touch on that unshakable kingdom. That death can't even shake. Can you say, man, where fear is gone and the grave has lost victory, we know that when He stands upon the earth, we know what ancient Job knew. We're going to stand with Him. Hallelujah. And we're going to live with Him forever, age without end. I'm not worried about global warming. It's a genuine concern to the earth, but this earth is going to be moved away anyway one of these days. God is so good. The scripture said in Matthew 24 when Jesus was asked, what should be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? He began to answer them with many different things, but throughout the context of that same answer in scripture came the words, there shall be earthquakes in divers places, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves will be roaring. These are precursors to what's coming. These are gentle, loving warnings, even though they shake so violently, that nothing in this world can stand except His kingdom. Nothing in the tangible world, no one outside the kingdom can stand. No one and nothing. Everything in which man puts security outside the kingdom. Why does God permit it? Because He wants to wake us up before it's eternally too late. He wants us to hear more than a preaching. He wants to hear Him that speaks from heaven. And I believe the majority of the church would be in altars today if we really heard Him. And we were standing reverently in awe of the person of Christ instead of the personality of the preacher. Paul was so motivated, he said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I will raise up ministries in the last day, saith God, whether men will listen or whether they will forbear. My word shall go forth. My warnings shall be heard, even if they're not heeded. For I have never judged a people or a nation that I did not rise up early and send my prophets. For my great heart of love desired to show mercy even to those nations if they would but turn. Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. And I repented of the judgment that I had set against them. Yea, saith God, I am rich in mercy and grace, and I desire to send great revival to those who will hear my voice and repent, saith the Lord. Somebody give Him praise in this room. Glory to God. I want to say to the young preacher that's trying to make his mark, if you hear this, I can't tell you about how to have a big building, a bunch of people, and appear successful among your peers, but I can tell you how to please God. You preach the Word, son. Preach the Word. Whether they come or whether they stay away in droves, you preach the Word. If you have to go to work to do it, amen, you go to work to do it. But you preach the Word of God when you preach. Don't preach to hurt and don't preach without the love of God, but don't compromise His truth. The real revival that God wants to send to America is going to be based on His original truth. Nothing added and nothing taken from it. And everyone that believes that said glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give Him a hand clap of praise in this place. Amen. I'd rather wait for the real thing to come. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll go home in a 97 Concorde today, and I'm not talking about an airplane neither. Hallelujah. Amen. And wait for the real revival. Praise God. Amen. I love the Lord today. It's not that we don't have another car. My wife has the good one. I get the hand-me-down. I'm going to wax hers up real good over the weekend. Praise God. And take good care of it, because that's going to be mine someday. Every time we get a new one, I get the old one. Hallelujah. Yes, I don't know what it is. Pamela wears it clean out by the time it gets to me. It's so pretty. It smells so good till I get it. Don't even look. I heard a message. I got to let you go. I heard a message preached one time. Convicted me terribly. It was about discipline and being organized and being disciplined in prayer and disciplined in the Word. And it said, if you want to see how disciplined a man is, go look in the trunk of his car. And I thought, oh, Lord. Anybody that's ever been in my trunk knows I need a truck bad. And I need a truck with a cover on it so you can't see what I'm hauling around and why I haven't gotten it out. Glory to the Lord. Amen. Will you join hands today? I love you. It's good to be a Christian in these end times. Let's compassionately reach out to that world about us. I believe God, listen, people ask me all the time at work about prophetic situations and circumstances and where we are prophetically. And they're feeling the uneasiness of the times. And they're trying to drown it with parties and sports and pleasures of the world. But deep on the inside of them, the Holy Spirit is sowing the seeds of a mighty revival. People that are feeling the uncertainty and the shaking situation that the whole world is entering into, no matter how much they deny it, God has a mark for His convicting spirit to touch. Hallelujah. And when the true message is brought to people, amen, those that have an ear to hear are going to hear what the Spirit says, and people are going to come to know Christ. They're going to come to know Him. Don't let the falling away in the last days discourage you. Even while there's a falling away of taking place, there's a great ingathering taking place. Because I'm moving by my Spirit, yea, saith God, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the Lord, even in the time of the falling away, they're going to be saved, saith God. I will do a quick work. I will do a mighty work in the last day. A great ingathering, yea, saith God, has begun. Be part of that gathering, saith God. Prepare yourself, yea, to be reapers, yea, saith God, for the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. But I'm raising up men and women, boys and girls, yea, that are fit for the harvest, saith God. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. The measure of faith's in them, isn't it? To be saved with. Heavenly Father, bless this audience as we leave here today. Bless this people. Send us forth wherever we go in life, from the least of us to the greatest of us, with a simple message of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, as You prepare the world to hear it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. Hallelujah.